Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino. I'm so excited for some special coverage, getting to talk about the debut of a brand new NBC sitcom. Not that we're going to be doing a weekly coverage on it, but because worlds are colliding with one of our brand new rehap-ups, the Wrestling Rehap-Up just debuted this year, and so I thought it would be fun to talk about the premiere of Young Rock with the co-hosts of our brand new Wrestling Rehap-Up. Let's welcome in this very fearsome tag team that covers everything that's going on in the world of wrestling every single week, including right now, Young Rock. Please welcome. First, here is Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hi, Rob. Glad to be here. Glad to be talking wrestling in any capacity. So thanks for bringing us on just to talk about some quick Young Rock.
Yes, this is a bonus podcast for fans of the Wrestling Rehap-Up.
Yeah.
You get a freebie this week. And of course,
more bang for your buck.
Welcome in Matt Scott. Matt, how are you?
I'm always happy to be here. I can smell what the Rob is cooking. We're here. We're podcasting, coming in hot. I'm just happy to be talking about wrestling with you, Rob.
Yeah, this is fun. The brand new show, Young Rock, if people missed it this week, premiered on NBC. Let me tell you the plot real quick. The year is 2032. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is running for president of the United States and sits down with a reporter and sort of, I guess I'd say How I Met Your Mother style, is telling stories from his youth. And we see here in the premiere three different eras of The Rock growing up. We see him at age 10, age 15, and as I don't know if he's a freshman or sophomore.
18,
at the University of Miami as a football player. So we are traveling through time with The Rock here on Young Rock. Before we get into talking about Young Rock, just quickly, if you want to make sure that you are hearing about everything that's going on in the world of wrestling, in case you didn't know, go to robinsonwebsite.com/wrestling to subscribe to the Wrestling Rehap-Up and give these people some feedback and star ratings. What are you waiting for? Come on.
Yes. Five stars, just like a Bayley and Sasha match. What it should have been rated. Give us five stars.
Okay, we're already diving in deep into the wrestling, so there's no turning back now. Five stars, reviews, all of it. We're not doing plugs yet, Rob, I guess. But
okay,
please give us the stars.
Robinsonwebsite.com/wrestling to subscribe. It does help people find out about the show. As Matt and Mari are going all the way to WrestleMania, the best time of year for wrestling fans is right now. So before we talk about Young Rock, how's everything going? You guys are doing good?
Yes, gearing up for Elimination Chamber. The Elimination Chamber pay-per-view is this week. So on Sunday will be the pay-per-view. On Saturday, when we record, we will be reviewing the pay-per-view and all of that. It'll drop that day, so you can listen to us talk about Elimination Chamber, and then you can go and watch Elimination Chamber.
And Mari and Matt are both such dedicated wrestling fans. But Mari, could you give us like your backstory a little bit? Could you talk about how you and your husband are traveled around the country going to different live shows?
Yes. Before that, I always was a wrestling fan, going back to, of course, the Attitude Era. Everybody was a wrestling fan during the Attitude Era. Like when I was 10, early 2000s, loved wrestling. My husband actually got me back into wrestling in 2015 because he was like, hey, I think you need to watch this girl, Sasha Banks. She's a great wrestler. I think you'd like her. And sure enough, one of her first matches I saw was Sasha versus Bayley at Brooklyn Takeover, and it was a wrap. So we'd been watching ever since then. And then in 2018, we decided we were going to do, we were going to hit as many pay-per-views and as many live shows as possible. And we went to the iconic 2018 Royal Rumble, where they had the first Women's Royal Rumble in Philly. It was great. We went to WrestleMania in New Orleans because my husband had never been to New Orleans at that point. And so we went there. We actually went and saw the Takeover, the New Orleans Takeover, and then we kind of did a watch party for the actual WrestleMania. We skipped SummerSlam because I got pregnant, but I was 6 months pregnant when we flew to LA. You know,
not many people
have
ever said that sentence before. Yeah. I skipped SummerSlam because I got pregnant.
Specifically that, because other than that, we would have been there. We would have been there, but we decided to just hold off and we saved our money and we did our baby moon in LA and we got to go to the Survivor Series in 2018. So it was fun. That was like the most we've ever done, just traveling around, enjoying wrestling. We went to a few live shows here and there in between that, but
relationship goals. Yeah.
Yes. And my 2-year-old loves wrestling because he was in the womb when he was first introduced to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish there was anything that me and my wife loved as much as you and your husband love wrestling.
Yes. You have to have that common denominator there. And it's just such a great excuse for traveling as well.
Now, Matt, are you a big Rock fan?
Am I a big Rock fan? So, I mean, when I became a wrestling fan 20 years ago, The Rock was kind of on top. So he was established, but I have, you know, mainly been a wrestling fan in an era where The Rock was retired and not an active wrestler. So I feel like in my mind, The Rock is a little bit underrated. I'm kind of a fan of him. He's kind of a big deal these days, a little bit bigger than he was when I started watching.
Can I ask a question that in my mind, I mean, maybe this isn't true, I feel like that wrestling fans have never really turned on The Rock, where I feel like that people don't feel like, oh, he's too good for wrestling anymore. That I feel like that the wrestling fans have kept the love affair going with The Rock for all this year. Is that in my imagination?
No, I think that's spot on. And I think it's because, like, in wrestling, sometimes the fans, a lot of the times the fans turn on a lot of the popular wrestlers that we love. We're all guilty of it. But at the same time, The Rock is so good that you can't deny it. So, like, I could talk about The Rock's peak being in the late 90s or even early 2000s, but, like, realistically, 2021 is probably The Rock's peak, and he just keeps getting better and better. I'm a little nervous about him running for president, but that's a whole other story.
The reason why the fans haven't turned on him is because they turned on him initially. He was when he first debuted, they booed the crap out of him in what, 97. They initially hated him. He was like, you know what, forget you guys. He turned it up. I'm pretty sure we'll see it on the show. I can't wait till they get to that part, because that's such a big part of his mythos, him talking about how the fans turning on him just from jump really helped shape the actual Rock gimmick. And since he became The Rock, he turned it up. We've never looked back. He hasn't looked back, and we've loved him ever since. So, the fans hated him. He was like, screw you. And now he's like, everybody loves me. And that's how it works sometimes in wrestling.
Well, let's talk about the actual show of Young Rock, which starts in the future, and then we go back to these three different timelines. And you know, I definitely have a lot of questions about, like, where does the show go from here? Matt, what do you think of the 2032 version of The Rock?
I had some questions. I think he's definitely a polished guy. I think we've seen The Rock out and about and kind of being the superhero, but he was definitely more presidential than usual. I was surprised that he was wearing a suit rather than, like, you know, one of those silk shirts that he wore in the late 90s with a lion or tiger on it. But he made some interesting choices as president. I'm very curious to see.
Well,
how
he's
he'll
a
do
candidate
election.
For president. He's not. He's not elected yet.
Look, he's going. He's the Rock.
Who he's running against?
It's The Rock, though.
That's a great question. Maybe we'll find out.
Sasha Banks.
Or like Jesse Ventura or something like that. Some other wrestling character, and they'll take that part of the vote away from them. But he had a questionable slogan, which was the immediate thing that stood out to me, which was, just hang on, I'm coming. Which, like, I don't know why that was on his bus. I don't think that works. But look, Rock is really going for it here.
Mari, did they age The Rock for 2032 Rock?
They did not. I was sitting there that whole time. I'm like, okay, this is what, 11 years into the future? I was wondering, I was like, so what he'd be like 60-ish or something like that. Yeah. 50, 60. I don't know what his age. I'm sorry. He's older.
He's older.
I was.
Yeah, I think he's 48. I think that I looked it up.
48.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. So good. So he'd be almost 60, and he looked just like The Rock. I was like, okay, well, now, The Rock is calling it. He's like, I'm going to look exactly like this in 11 years. That being
said, you don't know like how good like the beauty and skincare industry could be in 2032.
It's about 10 years. Like I don't know if we're going to have any breakthroughs or miracles happen. But then again, The Rock has pretty much looked the same.
Man, I was just happy COVID was over.
That's right. Yeah, I was amazed. I was like, wow, I'm glad no one has to wear masks outside together. Like,
no pandemic. 2032 is looking good.
No pandemics on the horizon.
Yeah. So there was a point in the opening where he sits down with the interviewer and he sets up like that he's going to drop his signature catchphrase where he opens up the refrigerator and he's like, every morning I go into my refrigerator and I open up the fridge and I say, can you tell what The Rock is doing? I was like, is this like a WWE? Is he not allowed to say this outside of wrestling?
Yeah, I was wondering if he's going to get sued, but NBC and WWE has a strong relationship with them. So maybe that's the finale. We're building up to him giving the signature catchphrase eventually. Or maybe he's like, I actually think, Rob, it might be more like a child star situation where you're like, you know, if you're Urkel, you're like, I'm not going to say, like, did I do that on Cameo? Yeah. So I think maybe he's a little bit sensitive about saying his catchphrase.
And Rob, can I say, like, it's not just some interviewer. That's Randall Park, sir.
Yes.
I love me some Randall Park.
What is he best known for?
Well, he's best known for, well, I liked him in Always Be My Maybe on Netflix, but he's in the MCU. He's currently on WandaVision now. Randall Park is so funny. I really like him. I would love for him to get more roles. And I thought it was so funny that he even referenced, like, he was like, I used to be an actor. I was like, wait, he used to be an actor.
Oh, is he playing himself?
He was calling him Randall and everything. Yeah, so
that's interesting.
I love their banter back and forth. I hope he stays with it.
Yeah, I mean, do we think that every episode is going to start with being like part of this like interview that's going to go on?
I hope so.
I think so. Yeah. Kind of like you said, like How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Just a quick clip with the kids. At least that whole first season. Remember that whole first season? It was like clips of the kids and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. God, I'm getting flashbacks and PTSD. Oh, God.
Yeah.
How I Met
Hopefully
Your Mother.
Hopefully have a sad ending. Like,
yes, please. Let's avoid that. Please.
Yeah. What's a sad ending in this universe? Is it him not winning the election? Or, this is what I wonder. Mm.
I don't know.
They have 11 years to play around with, so.
Yeah. Maybe something happened to Roman Reigns.
Oh, no.
Very sad.
It might be the Nia Jax situation from last week, which I won't... I'll just say our title, the title of our last episode is Nia's Hole. I'm not going to go into it. Don't want to touch that, Rob.
Yeah.
Please listen to our episode to find out more.
Thank you. So I just thought it was weird that they can't say, can you smell what The Rock is cooking? But then we go back to youngest Rock of the 10-year-old Rock. And then there's so much wrestling. And there's so many like wrestling characters that, and I don't know to what degree the WWE or WWF owns the story of like the behind the scenes of wrestling. But it just seemed weird that if it was like a legal issue, he can't say his catchphrase. Then we had so much wrestling stuff.
Rob, who's going to say no to The Rock? Like, are you really going to tell The Rock that he can't say his catchphrase? Yeah. Come on.
So maybe it wasn't a legal thing. Maybe that was just a joke to say something different. Yeah.
Hopefully. Maybe like a swerve. Yeah. It was probably a swerve.
Definitely. He swerved us. Okay. Rock is known for doing that.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So we go back to the childhood of The Rock, and we get to see The Rock growing up in the shadow of his dad, Rocky Johnson. And, you know, spoiler alert, this stuff was my favorite part of the episode. The youngest Rock. And like, I kind of wonder, like, I don't know why the whole show isn't this.
Yeah.
I'm really wondering, because like you said, we get three different eras of The Rock, but I'm assuming they want to make this more than one season. So it's going to be really interesting to see if they stay with this. Oh, here's something from this. Here's something from this. Or if they're going to maybe 1 week go just all youngest Rock. Yes. The next week go maybe go all the way to the U or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested. I'm actually surprised, because when we said we were going to do this, I was like, sure, I'll give it an episode. But then now I think I might apply my 3-episode rule to this. Wow. and see what they do with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt, did you have a favorite of the three timelines?
Oh man, I think I have to go with I like the medium level Rock, where he's getting the car.
medium sized
Rock specifically. That was a little bit fun. He was just off the walls. The car situation, which I'm sure we'll get to, was a little bit bananas. I don't know who doesn't check the backseat of a car before getting into it when you first buy it, but I guess we'll probably get there. Hopefully we'll get there eventually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting, because we basically got three short stories, and I was almost like, is this like a like anthology show? Because I feel like that there was kind of a very loose theme, but I didn't feel like that all three of the stories were super connected in that, you know, something that happened in the first story like paid off in the second story. It was just almost like here's three things that happened in The Rock's life, and they sort of like did try to say like, oh, you gotta work your gimmick, but I felt like that was a little thin to sort of like lump all these three stories together. And I do wonder if they'll do like one episode will be all in the, you know, 10-year-old timeline, and the next episode might be all in the like older timeline. I just feel like that it's hard to just keep bouncing around so much.
Yeah, and if you bounce around so much, then you're going through so much material so quickly, you know? When, again, if you're trying to stretch this over multiple seasons, you don't want to give, okay, littlest Rock, medium Rock, big Rock, each episode, little Rock, medium, because you're just kind of running through storylines, I feel like. I do have a question for the both of you. I don't typically watch too much sitcoms now that I'm an adult. Mm-hmm. It's all trash reality TV over here, please. Same. Thank you. Competition reality TV. So did it feel like to you, as it kind of felt like to me, that it's almost like three sitcoms in one to me? Did y'all pick anything up like that?
Yeah, like that. The three different shows I felt like had like a very different feel. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's like maybe they have like different people like directing them, and that might have accounted for it. Like, there's like basically, especially like shooting like during COVID. And I'm not sure. Again, I'm a little bit talking out of my butt because I don't know when they filmed this. But you know, if you had these people in one location, these people in one location, and these people in another location, like it might have felt like a little more disjointed.
Yeah, and what I think I saw just in terms of when and where they filmed, but fact check me later. So it was definitely during COVID. I think I saw something about November of last year. Maybe that was when they wrapped filming. I'm not positive, but and then I also saw Australia as where this was filmed, which is fun. Yeah, a little exotic.
Yeah. They're COVID free, so that that could be a reason why as well, because not only did it feel like three different stories, it really did feel like three different sitcoms. Like The Littlest Rock was your Goldbergs, your Fresh Off the Boats, like the mixed-ish back in time sitcoms. Mm-hmm. Then the middle one, I really popped because I saw Taj Cross from Pin 15, which is such a funny show on Hulu. Everybody go watch Pin 15. It's hilarious. And it gave you that teen comedy, you know, it felt like I was going towards high school teen comedy. And then your third, we didn't get a lot in the later Rock years, but then it also kind of felt like going back towards that family, that type of the Black-ish type of shows where it's all family dynamics. Mm-hmm. Later. So it really did feel like three different shows.
Yeah. And I think like the reason to that point, Mari, like the medium Rock, I really felt like big Everybody Hates Chris vibes, mm-hmm. which is also set in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Chris Rock. So we're seeing a little bit of overlap there, but it will be nice to see how the different shows and storylines develop over the course of the season.
Well, let's talk about the earliest Rock, where mm-hmm. I felt like that there was some really cool stuff. If you are a old school wrestling fan, there was a lot here because admittedly, I did not know a lot about the Rock's dad, Rocky Johnson, that believe it or not, he was actually before my time. I did not ever see Rocky Johnson in the WWF when I started watching, even when I was a little kid. But it was, you know, you started off where they were at the arena and you saw Rocky Johnson in the ring. But then afterwards, like they come back to a party at the home of the Junkyard Dog.
Yeah. From what I understand, it was Otta Johnson is the Rock's mom. And her mom, it was her house from what I thought. Okay. And cause I think she was the booker because Rocky got paid by her. He said, I need to go pick up my money from mm-hmm. your mom. And Peter Maivia, the Rock's grandfather, the high chief Peter Maivia, who they referenced several times in this, proportion, he was known to be a booker in Hawaii. I do know that for a fact. Right. So, I think this is where everybody, that's why all the wrestlers were there, because they're there to hang out. They like each other, but they get paid because she's the booker man. So mm-hmm. It was so cool to see all of these wrestlers in one spot. Do you guys mind if I just rattle off the
rattle
names here?
Yeah.
So we had the Junkyard Dog, which was so great to see. We have Afa and Sika, the Wild Samoans, who, again, are part of that huge Samoan dynasty that includes the Usos and Roman Reigns and a lot of others. When I saw the Iron Sheik, uh-oh, I almost died. I was like, yes, Iron Sheik.
Let me just say for a second, a lot of the things that Iron Sheik has said in interviews, we could not say on this podcast. So just go to YouTube, Iron Sheik.
He seemed much more mellow in the youngest Rock timeline.
Maybe it was the triple sec or something like that. But yeah, he's not the same guy. He doesn't seem like the same party animal. Takes things a little bit too seriously these days.
Follow the Iron Sheik on Twitter if you a lot of cuss words.
Or block him if you want to avoid ever interacting with that. Probably a better idea.
Andre the Giant just shows up.
Yeah.
That was really cool. I was sitting there wondering, because this was still all in Hawaii. Yeah. This was still all in Hawaii. Yeah. So I was really trying to... I was thinking of the moves, like the pattern of people's movements throughout, you know, wrestling history. So it was really cool to see just all of those legends in one area.
Yeah, that was great.
Like Andre the Giant also had a weird moment when he walked in because one, he had his entrance coming in the door, but it's like, hey, I'm Andre. It was a very sitcom moment, having him walk in. And so I, there's a lot that's coming up with him. Over this season, it seems, mm-hmm. but I just thought it was fascinating how they portrayed him there.
Matt, do you think Andre was giant enough?
No.
I thought he was way too small.
Very small, yeah.
T- tiny. I need to figure out how tall that actor was, because he was not. And Andre the Giant was also like a very thick, large man. He also loved to drink a lot. And
yes.
From the stories I've heard about Andre the Giant, because I was looking this up to remind myself, he's had stories about drinking 5 bottles of wine at dinner and 119 mm-hmm. beers in 6 hours, mm-hmm. which I totally believe. I don't think that man could do that. 119 beers, really? No.
He's legendary for his drinking prowess.
And, yes.
You know, I got to ask T-Bird when the next time I talk to her, because I know she had said on a podcast one time how she was on a flight, I think, when Andre the Giant was on the flight.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to have her on the podcast to learn more about this story. Maybe it'll be a very special wrestling wrap-up.
She loved Andre the Giant.
Wow, that's awesome. I would love to hear that story, definitely.
The Rock then, Young Rock got in trouble because he said that wrestling was fake, and Andre the Giant really took him to task. He was ready to chokeslam him.
Never say wrestling is fake, especially in front of wrestlers and even in front of us wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Because
what do you say? How do you say it correctly?
You can always say that wrestling is predetermined, but to say that it's fake is just, you know, they're really out there doing stunts, putting their bodies on the line, getting injured. So just because the outcome is predetermined does not take away from all the athletic ability, all the skill, all the acting, all the stunt work that goes into it. And just saying fake in such a dismissive way is just very irksome.
Yeah, but also this was the 80s too, before the Vince McMahon, WWF at the time, steroid trials, and before a lot more of the business was just exposed through those in the early 90s. And so this was a big deal to say that wrestling was fake. I mean, I even know growing up that a lot of people I knew, and this is like early 2000s, didn't know that wrestling was predetermined and scripted. Mm-hmm. So you have to think in the 80s that they were a little bit protective of that. I did think it was a lot that the biggest man in the room was the one to pick him up and put him in his place. Like, anyone could have done that to Young Rock.
Yeah. Kayfabe was still king back then. So this was blasphemy, basically, from The Rock.
I'm getting a note from Sam Moore that the actor who played Andre the Giant is only 6'7".
Not big enough.
Come on. You can get some CGI. Have him bigger. Do some trick photography. Get him closer to the camera.
Right. Exactly. Shoot him from below.
The actor that played Rocky Johnson, I thought he was really good, too. I was happy to see him in the third timeline also.
Yeah, I wish I wrote his name down. Joseph Lee Anderson. He did not look familiar to me, but great job so far. And his mother, too. Yeah, this was just really good casting overall, I would definitely say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that was good. I felt like of the three, that was my favorite. All right. So then The Rock, like, pivots to talking about how I remember when I only had $7 in my pocket, and it led to me stealing. And he tells a story where the first thing that happens is he steals a pair of shoes and then goes on a whole different, did I ever tell you about the time I stole a pair of shoes? I was in the store. I stole a pair of shoes. Then the shoes was not a part of the story at all after that.
Yeah. It was kind of like weird flex, but okay, Rock. Like, I have a feeling that he didn't walk up to the shoes and walk out like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to. I want to know the real story. I want to see the security cam footage in black and white from 1987.
Yeah. All right. So 1987, Rock is 15 years old, man, and has a full mustache.
Yeah. Still
I
jealous.
I really like this part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This part was hilarious because full mustache, they called him an undercover cop.
That was really funny.
Because of Jump Street. I'm assuming Jump Street had to have just come out in that era. Yeah. So that's probably why they called him. And this was, like Matt said, like you guys said, they steal the shoes, but we don't hear about the shoe. He doesn't talk about the shoes again. I said that this was like the mini swerves. Like, there's so many swerves in this portion of the show. You think it's going one way. Oh, no, it went another way. Oh, you think it's going that? Oh, no, it went back. It was really good. It was really funny.
Mari, come on. You know, it's long-term storytelling. Like, Vince McMahon's not great at it, but NBC and The Rock have it figured out. There's going to be a payoff to that mustache, because that was really epic, but also to shoplifting, all of it. We're gonna see this all come full circle. I have faith in The Rock.
Yeah, so The Rock did not have a lot of money, and so he was trying to dress to impress this woman, Karen, in his school, who really he wanted her to think that he was rich. So he was stealing some stuff, and then also was making more people think that he was an undercover cop because of how he was dressed.
Yeah, Karen from Algebra, who does a front knot with her gym shirt. You know, right. Bob, have you ever done a front knot with your gym shirt?
I cannot say that I have.
Oh. I have. It's been a while, but...
Yeah.
And you got to remember, it's Tomas, not Dwayne.
He has a friend that... Matt, well, what can you tell us about the friend of The Rock in the middle school era?
This is where I made the Everybody Hates Chris comparison, especially because you have The Rock as like the Chris Rock character, but his friend is like the Greg, if anyone's familiar with the show. And he's kind of just there to kind of be this sage fellow 15-year-old, I guess, giving wisdom and advice to his fellow 15-year-old. But he had some really good advice, like with The Rock shoplifted jacket. You know, he came up with the perfect excuse. Just say it's blueberry wine, which I think, you know, I didn't know what blueberry wine was at that age, but good for him.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to see that, you know, The Rock is a loser at school that nobody wants to be friends with. But Mari, is this because he's moved from Hawaii and he's the new kid? Is that what the issue is?
Yeah, that's why, again, at the end of it, The Rock said, well, I'll tell you later. I'll tell it, you know, it'll keep going. So now when we're in Medium Rock era, they're now in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how he got there. We don't know any of that. But they're saying that he's a loser basically because he's just so big looking. He looks like a full adult at 15. Yeah. So I can't see this staying, because we also find out that he when he graduates from high school, he's like a five-star recruit in football. Mm-hmm. So at some point he has to make that transition to like a jock. So again, they did a lot of good work laying some groundwork for me to be interested to want to see where it keeps going.
Yeah.
I had a theory about this, like about him not being the coolest, because I noticed when he was in high school, he pronounced his name as Dwayne and not just Dwayne. And I think that's the difference maker. Like I knew Dwayne in high school and he was not cool, but Dwayne in college, Dwayne was very cool.
Yeah.
I don't hear the difference.
Dwayne versus Dwayne.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let you have it.
We'll dive into this on the wrestling wrap up.
Yeah, would The Rock have made it if he stayed as Dwayne Rock Johnson?
No way.
Yeah. Just to go back to Rocky Johnson, you know, when we see him later on, you know, he is not wrestling. He's like working as like a seemingly as a delivery driver. The Rock has no money here in the middle school era. That is Rocky Johnson out of wrestling, or is it just that you could not make a living as a wrestler in like these like early days of WWF?
It's from my understanding that this is the late 80s. So this is right around the time where the wrestling world starts to shift, where Vince McMahon Jr. starts to take over from Senior. And so the territory stuff starts to try to start breaking down. So it could be a little bit of both. It could be he's still wrestling, but because of the changing landscape, he's not making as much money. Plus, he's probably been doing it for a while. And then the schedule just probably is just kicking, you know, the family's butt. So I thought this was very interesting. You can definitely see the thread of his father is starting to be less and less present in his life. And then, the mom having to work like as a cleaning houses. That was really interesting for this portion of the story. So again, it just makes me, it really makes me want to just know more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even thinking about the fact, so I know that Rocky was in WWF, or World Wrestling Federation, until about 1985. And so I think he was still active as a wrestler, but at the time, people just weren't making like nearly the money that they'd go on to make at the very end of the 90s, or at the very end of the 80s and in the 90s and now. So there just wasn't a ton of money in wrestling, like we saw in kind of the first act with The Youngest Rock. Where they're at a motel and they have the nice car, but they're still kind of, they're not as well off as you'd think that a wrestling superstar would be. So it's just a different time.
All right. You want to talk about the issues with the car? The Rock buys a car for $103 from a homeless man named Waffles, who then is sort of, no, is that right?
From a homeless man named Billy, but then there happens to be another homeless.
There was another guy that was in the car, and there was another homeless guy that was in the trunk.
Yes. Waffle was in the car. The other guy, Billy, sold the car with Waffle in it.
Mark, how much of this are we taking as sort of like, okay, like, did these things happen to The Rock?
I don't know. This was the moment I was like, okay, like, you know, wrestling and people in the entertainment business in general, they like to sprinkle a little extra, just a little extra on there.
Yeah, because spoiler alert, then Waffles is going to die by the end of this episode.
All right.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, another swerve.
Another swerve, though. See, we can always go back to Waffles.
Yeah. But Waffles is giving like The Rock some really good life advice and telling him, you know, that, if I could have done this all differently, I would have cared more about the people that cared for me. And then, Waffle is seemingly like set up to be like this, like big figure of inspiration in The Rock's life before he dies. Yeah.
Then he dies. And that's again, swerve after swerve. The Rock does all that stuff. He gets the car. He goes to the party. He hears some sage advice from Waffle. He decides to leave the party and go see his mom and pledge to his mom that he's going to start helping her more. And the car is for the both of them. And I was like, this is so nice. Then Waffle dies. And then he's like, he has to abandon the car. I was like, wait, what?
His mom did not ask nearly enough questions when she got into his car with Waffles in there. It's like, what, mom, you know, your son doesn't have the best judgment. Maybe you want to take some time before getting in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you need insurance in 1987?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Also,
that wasn't a thing yet.
You barely needed seatbelts, Rob. I wasn't there, but that's what I hear.
I wasn't driving then.
Weren't the trunks airtight back then? Like, what? How did his name, the other guy, survive in the trunk?
Holes all over the car. Yeah. Itself,
rusted out in certain places. Okay. And then The Rock, he talks to his mom. She loves red caddies, and he's got her 7 red Cadillacs. And then we got to see the actual pictures of The Rock's mom with the red cars. That part was real.
Yeah, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And we have a third timeline to visit of The Rock back at the U. Okay. So I guess it's 1990 or so. The U was special, and The Rock has just shown up. I thought that this was a good casting choice for this guy, for the third Rock.
We were talking about Andre the Giant not being big enough, but I do not believe that The Rock was that muscular, that jacked,
too big.
When he started college. He was too
big. He's a five-star recruit. He's a five-star, linebacking or defensive end?
He was not that big when he started in WWF. He was not. He was like, look. The Rock now is at his most muscular, I believe. So this just gives you a little bit of an idea of they're taking liberties with the gimmicks.
I want to say, we'll see. I guess we can always look up pictures, but the U is special. Rob, this is football. This is your area.
Yeah.
So, did you see that, the 30 for 30 on the U?
No, I did not.
Ooh, you got to watch that.
Yeah,
it's good.
I saw that. So the two of the players that he was there with, Russell Maryland, who, was he on the Ravens?
Oh, I don't know. His name didn't sound familiar to me.
Yeah, I know he's a big time. I feel like he went on to have a really good career as a defensive tackle. And then who was the other guy?
I personally did not write it down because I didn't.
I missed the other one, but yeah.
Jesse Armstead or something like that.
Yeah, another linebacker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Russell Maryland. I think he's on the Raiders. Yeah, he went to Dallas, Oakland, and Green Bay, Russell, Maryland.
I'm ready. I'm like waiting for like the Ed Reed references and all that. Yeah. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, but Ed Reed wasn't there when The Rock was there, right?
I thought they were.
Was he?
Was. Yeah, the U.
Wait, Ed Reed is old.
And where was Jimmy Johnson in all this? Where was Jimmy Johnson?
Oh, yeah. Why was it? Maybe he was busy on Survivor Nicaragua then, maybe. Yeah. Jesse Armstead. He was on the Giants, mm-hmm. Redskins, and the Panthers. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this was I thought a cool setup, but I felt like that this was the story that had the least meat on the bone.
Yeah, it was only about like a few minutes or so, but it was really interesting. It was very illuminating when it came to the relationship with the Rock and his father. Like the Rock showing up to introduce himself to the guys, and they're like, "Oh, your dad was already here," and he was like, "Wait, what?" And then his dad lying and saying he's on the Wheaties box or whatever. It was cute, and it really, again, I feel like if we're gonna get this portion of the sitcom, it's gonna be like a it's going to be funny, but it could be like a Friday Night Lights type of thing. It's going to be very sports heavy, very team bonding thing. And it might be the one that I'm least, interested in, but I'm still interested. So it worked out. Yeah.
Yeah. His dad came by and told the kids that he was going to be on the Wheaties box, but the Wheaties in Asia, and that sort of like prompted him to break the bench press record at the U.
Yeah, was that his first day? But he just decided, I'm just gonna flex on everyone. Like, let's do this. Come on. Mm-hmm. And that was impressive. I think that might be where they're taking some liberties. Yeah. But maybe I need to do my research.
So I don't know a lot about The Rock's football career. Was he, like, I know he was a big recruit. I mean, did he do anything as a college football player?
I think he was there when they won a national championship.
Yes.
I do feel like I know, but other than that, him personally setting records, I am not sure about that at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then ultimately, we wrap it all up, for young Rock, and, you see, like, dedicated to, the real life Rocky Johnson, who I didn't realize had only passed away last year.
Yeah, he just passed away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was nice.
All right. Well, big picture, Matt, what do you think of Young Rock?
I'm a fan. I'm in on it. I intentionally avoided seeing what people had to say on social media and the reviews just because I didn't want that to taint how I felt about this. But, like, Rob, I watched it almost 3 times, three full times. So I'm kind of into this.
Yeah.
And it's short, it's easy to digest. The Rock has some great nicknames, which we didn't mention, like the Beast of Bethlehem, and I loved the chairman of Goldman Sachs, which is really cute. This is a fun show, and I am a little nervous that when we actually get to 2032 that The Rock might actually run for president, but we'll deal with that later. Let's enjoy the show now.
How do we think The Rock would be as president?
Well, I don't want to jinx this. I don't want to say it can't get worse, but
I feel like that, with all due respect to The Rock, I feel like no more celebrities. What about that?
Maybe
The Rock has been governor of a state and has some legislation like background at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't want to cast judgment. I'm just saying, if, you know. What? The Rock is coming off the set of season 13 of Young Rock. And going right into the White House. Like, I feel like...
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt here. I'm assuming he has tons of experience in office over the 11 years before his run. So maybe he's qualified.
A more experienced candidate, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
I would say I too enjoyed this. I went into it with no expectations. I actually went into it trying to figure out who did they make this for? Like, that was my first thought. I was like, who did they make this for? And after sitting down and watching it, it is a very inclusive show. I was wondering, as a diehard wrestling fan, are they just going to try and cater to me? Or are they going to, you know, oversimplify and try and cater to like casual watchers? But this really is for sitcom lovers. I think, bar none, it's for people who like sitcoms and different types of sitcoms. Yeah. So I'm gonna give it at least 3 episodes. I love to give new stuff 3 episodes, and then after 3 episodes I decide if I want to stay or you know, fold. But I'm interested. I like this. Thank you for suggesting this, Rob.
Thank you. Full of good ideas. It's like WandaVision, that they're trying on like 3 or 4 different types of shows. And I do think that they're trying to be like something for everybody. Of like, all right, we got the wrestling fans with the wrestling storyline. All right, we got the family sitcom with these people. All right, we got like the ballers crowd with the football stuff.
Sports,
so they're, you know, like, if people like politics, The Rock is running for president. So I feel like that I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I thought that it might be, there might be a chance it's like a really bad show, but
you
know, good.
Now that you mention it though, the way that it's crafted is a lot like pro wrestling, in that pro wrestling in itself is a variety show. So you get like the weird, quirky, but you also get like the surreal and like occult and all sorts of wild stuff in the gimmicks that we get. So, I mean, maybe they know what they're doing here. And again, it's NBC, which, like, WWE is on NBC. They have a long relationship. So I have a feeling, I'm hoping that they're going to do this really well. I trust The Rock more than anything to tell a good story
and
here.
So, Mari, if it goes far enough, do you think it's going to be like The Crown, where we're going to get to the point like, okay, who's going to play Stone Cold Steve Austin? Who's going to play Shawn Michaels? Who's going to play Vince McMahon?
It has to get there. Like, especially, and I wonder which storyline will take us there, or will all three of them like merge to get there? But we have to get that in ring of The Rock and his side of all of the stuff that happens to him, like, during his career. So it's very, very exciting. Very exciting.
I think that we'll see The Rock playing The Rock, and like Stone Cold Steve Austin playing Stone Cold, and then Vince McMahon like dyeing his hair black so that he looks 20 years younger. Yeah,
I don't know.
I hope not.
The Rock as a football player, though, like, I know he was at the U, but just in terms of like, and I don't know what his life was like in college, he did not have an extensive playing career. That he was a backup at the U, according to Wikipedia, and only started one game in 4 years playing behind Warren Sapp. Maybe we get Warren Sapp on the show.
There you go. Of course, you're going to be a backup to Warren Sapp. Then, you're going to have to sit on the bench, sir.
There
you go.
Okay. Anything else about Young Rock?
No, I'm going to be watching. You won't hear us talk about it. Sorry, guys, if you got addicted to this. Maybe if we have time, we'll squeeze it into our wrestling wrap-ups. But this was very fun. This was so fun. I had a blast talking about Young Rock. Just thank you for having us on here.
Yeah, and to Mari's point, to borrow from The Rock, we're going to know our role and shut our mouths when it comes to this series. But... you know where you could find us, the Wrestling Rehab Up, and thank you for
Tell us
to talk about this.
This weekend, what should we be looking forward to on the Wrestling Rehab Up?
Mari, you want to spoil Rob on what's happening?
Yes. So not only will we be going in-depth on the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, we will be talking a lot of AEW. We will actually be allotting a lot of time for AEW. We're going to have Grace come back and tell us everything that we've missed on AEW, get us up to speed. So for all of our fans out there, our listeners who have been clamoring for AEW, this will be the episode for you.
Okay. All right. Be on the lookout for that, both in our Rehap Ups feed and in our brand new Wrestling Rehap Up feed. Go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestling. And then where can people keep up with you both on social media?
Yeah, so I am on social media at Matt Scott GW, and you can find me probably tweeting about a bunch of random stuff, but you can also find me and Mari at Wrestling Rehap Up on Twitter.
Yes, you have a Twitter account for the show.
Yes, we have a Twitter account. We'll be tweeting, we'll be liking what people have going on. We smell what they're tweeting, and we're going to really embrace it. So yeah, we have a Twitter account. We're also, I have to say, newly very active in the RHAP patron group, and also the Job Has a Squadcast group. So you could also find us there on Facebook.
Yep. And you can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. Mari Talks Too Much 2, like the number 2. Also, this Sunday after Elimination Chamber, I'll just be doing a quick live reaction podcast, a quick podcast on Stereo, on the Stereo app. So if you guys want to hear me there, live reacting at 10:30 on Sunday night, just to talk about what we just watched. Hopefully we get some really big surprises.
How do you find that? People have to search for you on Stereo app?
Yes. So if you go to my Twitter account, you'll see I'll pin my tweet for the link to be able to find me and follow me on Stereo. Then you click the notifications, and as soon as we go live, you'll get a push notification saying that we're live, and you can come on, you can listen to me on Stereo, and you can do an audio question, and your audio question will play during the broadcast, and I can answer you right then and there. So it's just a really good way to connect.
All right. This was so fun to get to talk about the Young Rock. And thank you for indulging me to come on and talk about it.
No, Rob. And look, we want to spark the wrestling fan in you again. Yes. Hopefully the show Young Rock does that. We want you to be a bigger wrestling fan than both of us. So
how could that be possible?
We're waiting.
Yeah,
the thing is,
like, I kind of want to show my kids the wrestling, and I feel like that, like, they would be into it. I'm just worried that they're going to hurt each other.
It's inevitable. Like, my 2-year-old is beating me up.
And then my wife is going to say, why did you show them this? Why did you do it? I thought they would like it.
Oh my gosh. We don't want to get on Nicole's bad side.
It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, Rob.
Yeah.
Or we could turn her into a wrestling fan.
Get Nicole into wrestling. Yeah, maybe we get Nicole into wrestling. Yeah, then it was.
It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, she likes fighting, so I think that would be good.
She likes man. Okay.
We'll come up with a gimmick for her.
The idea of being like a WWE diva would be appealing to her.
Yes.
Rob, nowadays they even look. I think that she could really own the diva title. The women on the roster moved away from the diva title, but I could see. Look, I'm willing to be her manager if she's down. Like, let's go.
Yeah, is it not called Divas anymore? They changed the name?
Yeah, they are now all under the same umbrella and they're called WWE Superstars.
Superstars. Got it.
And they fight for the women's champion. They moved away from Diva because it started to get a negative connotation. Okay.
All right. Well, I don't want to contribute to that. All right. WWE Superstar. Because, I mean, she's like all the time, just like fighting against like the heavy bag all the time. So I think that maybe get her in the ring.
Rob, because this is really fascinating to me. If Nicole had like a wrestling name, what do you think that name, like that gimmick would be?
I'd have to think about it, but I feel like what she would like is some sort of like that she would if there was anything that, and I don't know, has WWE done anything with anybody that was in the mafia? I think that would be her dream as a lover of the Sopranos.
Yeah. I'm from Jersey,
like,
so
some
it's
sort of like lady boss. Yeah.
We're gonna work on it. We'll workshop
we're
this.
Gonna get
back
Nicole,
to
we're gonna get Nicole on our podcast and do a creator or a half slur for her.
Yeah, and then she can talk about that. She's gonna put a hit out and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Matt and Mari, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about Young Rock, and check out the Wrestling Rehap up, robhaswebsite.com/wrestling. And don't be stingy with those stars and ratings, okay? robhaswebsite.com/wrestling. robinswebsite.com/wrestling. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.